with Todd Mitchell. I'm Scott Hinnon. A little sleep deprived, but we're here, ladies and gentlemen. No daylight savings time here to keep us down, by golly. It's another edition of What's on Your Mind, Monday edition. This ought to be a holiday, I think. We have holidays for everything else. There ought to be the Monday after daylight savings time holiday. Todd, what do you think?
Let's see if you get the backing for that.
Yeah, allow a little
transition. Will there be more backing for that or more backing for just getting rid of clock change weekends altogether and just leave it? Set it and leave it.
You might have seen this in your Dickinson press, but daylight savings time can be a hazardous to your health, according to some new studies out there. Forum newspapers reporting that over the weekend. We're going to tackle that debate a little later on the program. We're going to see what we can figure out about this Malaysian jet that's missing. That's a head-scratcher, isn't it? And in the news over the weekend, and we have a great lineup of guests today. We're going to start with Ron Ness from the North Dakota Petroleum Council. We have Myra Anderson from the Vote Yes Committee. There's a vote tomorrow on a new school in Watford City. And also Governor Jack Dalrymple will be here to take your calls as well. So here's the telephone number, 800-228-0550-701-258-0550 or studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com for our guests. Put that in your speed dial again at 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550. And you can join us anytime. This hour, the program is brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Council, $30 billion in economic impact, 60,000 jobs, and energy security, all because of what's happening right here. And, of course, it's also the folks that, while creating those jobs and careers in North Dakota, are also helping to solve the challenges of our state's growth, too. And you can find out more about NorthDakotaOilCan.com. Speaking of which, since we called Jack Girard the Ron Ness of the United States, I guess we'll call you the Jack Girard of North Dakota. Ron Ness is with us on What's on Your Mind today. How are you, Ron?
I think that you would have a hard time finding enough snow in the city of Bismarck to make a snowball today. So that is really good news.
How about that? I understand you broke 60 over the weekend. Isn't that something?
People in shorts yesterday. It was spring is here. The birds were back, and it was awesome.
I was in Minneapolis on Friday for a Bakken event, Bakken Summit down there in Minnesota, with a lot of Minnesota leaders learning about the Bakken. Congressman Kevin Cramer keynoted that. And Kevin and I were noting how much more snow they have in Minneapolis than they do here at home. So, and a lot less so now. So how about that? Pretty darn cool. Anyway, you get enough sleep to be able to take some calls today on the program and chat a little bit?
We are ready to go today. It's spring is here, and let's get it going.
Exactly right. So if you have questions or comments for Ron, they're certainly welcome. And Jim in Isabel, South Dakota, wants to start here today on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead, Jim, for Ron Ness. You're on What's on Your Mind.
Ron, I'm not calling on the subject. I have a different subject I'd like to bring up someday.
Lay it on us, Jim.
I bought a brand-new Ford F-150 EcoBoost, and when you step on the gas and pass a vehicle, it shuts down. And they know about it, and there's no fix for it. And now that I know that happens, how can I have somebody ride in my vehicle and they can't fix it? And it's happening all over the country. It's the damp moisture gets in the turbos and shuts the vehicle down. And they won't address it, but yet this morning on the news, they're talking about all these GMs, and they're complaining because no one said nothing about it, and we got a problem now, and no one will do anything about it.
Interesting. Well, maybe, Ron, I don't know about your mechanical skills here to help Jim out with his Ford 1F50 EcoBoost, but it is sort of indicative of a push to, get these, the new CAFE standards that are out there for trucks have been in the news lately. Obviously, EcoBoost is designed to be a conservation tool, but sometimes these things get ahead of what works. Any take on Jim's question?
Well, I got no answers for Jim. My mechanical abilities end at putting the shells in the shotgun. But what is interesting, if you saw the news today, that California is imposing new vehicle emissions on cars, and it's going to add 12 cents a gallon, is the number that they're using in California. And I think you're on to something. We just keep precedent, and ultimately consumers and motorists are going to have to pay more, and sometimes you don't get what you want. Just ask Jim. So,
good point, Jim, and we'll try and get you some answers from Ford at some point. Appreciate the call very much. David in Temple has a question for Ron Ness. You're next on What's on Your Mind at 800-228-0550. Go ahead, David.
All right. Our newest problem that has surfaced, I should say, most recently, article in the Williston Herald regarding oil field waste, especially filter socks that come from all forms of production of oil and right down to saltwater disposal wells. How many saltwater disposal wells do we have in the state? And each of those, by the way, I worked at one, and we threw lots of these, and, well, we didn't really throw them out. Our instructions were to put them in plastic bags and pile them on the north side of the building of the pump house. I don't know what their plan was ever, and that Zenith produced water, a company from headquarters in Colorado. And it's all over the entire producing area here. And my understanding is that there are no laws, or there are no fines. There are no repercussions from dumping these things anywhere. If there is a good reason to bring the EPA into the state here, I'd say that's it right there. And I'll even put them up at my house. They can stay right here. That's fair market value, of course. But what does the state really have in mind to ever do about to enforce what little bit of laws we have on this? See, they can't accept them at the landfills because of over 5 microcuries, I think it is the limit, and then they have to ship it out of state. But they're not going to do that because it's expensive, so they're just going to dump it on us landowners around here. Clandestinely, and we will find it maybe in the summer when I'm out spraying spurge. Hello?
Yep, David, I got you. This is Ron, and I think you've got actually a pretty good handle on the challenges that we have with filter socks, and I'll just kind of back up. This is not a new problem. The problem is that the state changed the rules regarding not being able to have fluids in drill cuttings pits. And, of course, you're reinjecting that salt water back into the Dakota Formation. And what you do is you run all of those fluids through these filter socks. And they're much like what you would maybe think of like a wind sock in an airport or something like that. Probably not that big. But so the problem is that when you do that and you concentrate all that fluid through that sock, you end up with TENOR, technically enhanced, naturally occurring radioactive material, which is just a term not unlike what you have in many places around city or in dentist offices or anything like that. In itself, it's not a dangerous material. But we have not developed a place to dispose of these items in North Dakota. And our threshold is, like you said, less than 0.05 picoaries, which is a de minimis amount. And, you know, we have been encouraging the North Dakota Health Department for several years to, you know, in North Dakota, when we have a waste, we better have a waste solution. Because in the absence of that, you've got a lot of different people that have come in and gotten into the business of either saltwater disposal, or you've got landowners that have reached an agreement with somebody with some type of revenue stream to get in the business of disposing of this water. But now you recognize you've created this filter sock and you have to dispose of it. And it can cost you tens of thousands of dollars to truck these socks to, I believe there's 3 places, Idaho, Michigan, and Colorado. And so what you've seen now is last week the Department of Health came out with kind of what they call a cradle-to-grave monitoring system on these socks to kind of keep track of them. But what we need to do is we need to come up with a North Dakota solution, because you've got people in the business of disposing of water or not essentially the oil company. It's a third party generally that says, yeah, I'm in the business. And all of a sudden they find out I've got this bag full of these socks that I don't know what to do with. And the problem is not that the health department won't regulate it. It's the fact of how you find these people, because it's essentially a garbage bag. And now there's going to become some type of a tracking monitoring system on them, which they need to do. but we desperately need to find a solution in North Dakota. It's not a huge environmental issue. It's an issue that you need a proper landfill. They need to be properly taken care of. And I'm hopeful that we need a solution, because this is a serious issue. And as you said, you're seeing these things show up in bad places.
So it sounds like the ball is really in the health department's court right now on that point, Ron.
That is a health department regulation, and they're doing what they can. But in my opinion, they need to they've got a study out with a national laboratory to determine to look at raising these pico areas. But
makes sense, David. Appreciate the call. We'll take a short break. Back with Ron Ness of the North Dakota Petroleum Council after this timeout, folks. Don't go away.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
Remember when animal activists started impacting farmers and ranchers who raise animals for food in our great state? There was one organization, the North Dakota Farm Bureau, that decided to do something about it. Farm Bureau stood up for our state's farmers and ranchers by initiating a constitutional amendment to safeguard modern farming and ranching practices. The result? North Dakota became the first state to constitutionally protect agriculture practices. And the measure passed with nearly 70% approval from North Dakota voters. It didn't go unnoticed in other states either. Many are now forging ahead with similar plans. Agriculture is an important industry to our state, and the North Dakota Farm Bureau is the voice for agriculture in North Dakota. Farm Bureau is also the voice for limited government, self-reliance, and economic progress that made this country great. Learn more about all the Farm Bureau has to offer at their website, ndfb.org. ndfb.org. Your state, your future, your North Dakota Farm Bureau. Find out more at ndfb.org.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Beetelsbacher.
Did you know there are as many as 143 different species of weeds that stubbornly refuse to succumb to herbicides growing in the United States? The North Dakota Soybean Council considers herbicide-resistant weeds a major problem that requires immediate attention. Soybean producers can no longer rely on one input or one mode of action to effectively treat these weeds. It is important to arm yourself with more weapons to apply against weeds, such as crop rotation, residual herbicides, and multiple herbicide modes of action. These tools can help you manage herbicide-resistant weeds growing in fields already and prevent the development of new herbicide-resistant species. We also encourage you to develop more diverse weed management plans to keep these weeds from spreading further. For more information to prevent herbicide-resistant weeds from spreading, log on to ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237. Extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
I'm Scott Hennon. Thanks for listening to the program we call What's on Your Mind, because we want to know what's on your mind. It's as simple as picking up the phone and telling us at 800-228-0550 or emailing us studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. Ron Ness of the North Dakota Petroleum Council, our guest at the bottom of the hour. If you have any questions or comments, Ron, you recently met with some of the top Bakken CEOs, meaning the big folks that are doing business in the Bakken, and what did you get in the way of a sense of this resource and the years of drilling plans that they have planned? What were your takeaway from those conversations?
Well, I did, Scott, and I get to do this about every 2 years, and it is they let you under the hood of what's going on, and when you see it from one or two, you
you think, okay, but when you start hearing it from 8 or 10, you really get a sense of what's going to happen and what's on their mind. And I got a couple of things that I took away from that. Number one, this is still a big research project. I met with the CEO of Halliburton, and he talked about, you know, down in Eagleford, we pretty much have the cookie cutter recipe figured out. But in the Bakken, if I have a customer on one side of a road, he's doing one type of, completion process. And on the other side of the road, the competitor is doing something different. And it's like that in every county down every road. So, great resources just get better. And, that is essentially what they're discovering. So figuring out how to, determine what the well density is and what the right completion technique is an ongoing process. And, even companies within themselves are still, doing many, many different types in different areas. But what I saw was essentially drilling plans for, 14 to 17 years of what they see in the Bakken. And it's kind of I believe that the Bakken is kind of beginning to kind of squeeze towards the epicenter of the really, really good stuff. When you look at Montreal and McKenzie County alone now are producing more oil than essentially any other state other than Texas. So just those two counties alone would become the second largest oil producing state in the nation. So when you think about that, just step back and say, Montreal and McKenzie County together produce more oil than Alaska, California, Oklahoma. So, but that kind of tells you what's happening is that things are really starting to squeeze into that, northern two thirds of McKenzie County, the western two thirds of Montreal County, and then, kind of that southwestern half of Williams County, and then some of the northern half of Dunn County. So you've got essentially four counties there that really have a lot of the activity going on, which exasperates the road issues and all of those issues. And, but the other thing on all of their minds was really housing, affordable housing. And affordable housing is so critical, not to everyone, but to every business, because it's very difficult to attract and retain quality employees and keep them here for long periods of time if you don't have affordable housing. And they are watching that very closely, and they want to do everything they can to encourage and build more single-family housing units and more apartments. And, of course, even the school vote, those things, it's interesting when you're at that level talking to people and they all see and focus on things like housing, because that keeping quality employees here is so critical to their operations, and it's critical to the community. So that's a big issue.
And they're really connected, right? I mean, when they're talking about the size of the play and it's this big research project, this great resource, it's just going to get better and better. And we're here for the long haul. But by the way, you need more affordable housing. Those two should connect for the private sector to say, okay, here's folks that, have billions of dollars on the drawing board in investment in the state. They're doing it because of the size of the play. That should give comfort. I mean, one of the stories I've heard recently in my travels to Watford City, that the same apartment complex in Watford City needs to be financed over a 5 to 7 year time frame. They build it in Fargo, it's over a 20-year farm time frame. I mean, that makes no sense, because obviously then the rents are going to have to skyrocket in the West. I mean, what do we need to do to take the information you learn from folks to solve some of these challenges?
Well, I think you're right. Those economics are going to have to be based upon, living conditions in Fargo, or rents based in Fargo and other places, in order to really do what we need to do. But you're right. It is the focus, and their focus is also to get out of the housing business themselves, because, and out of the crew camp business, because their belief is that you never really get, employees to bring their families up if you don't have, apartments and single family houses. As long as they're in crew camps, they're going to work remotely, and they're going to go back to their families. Well, they now need, and with more and more wells on the ground all the time, you need more and more employees within an hour of that well site. So, what I was hearing is that, we're going to be getting out of that housing situation, which, that housing, providing that housing to employees and that housing assistance has come at tremendous expense for the companies, and it's taken pressure off those local housing markets. But my sense is you're going to start seeing, and of course, the counties themselves are going to start trying to you know, see some movement away from those camps now. They've served a valuable purpose, but we got to move on to the next phase of this.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the concerns raised recently by folks in the West about needing a special session to address the formula. The number we hear, the folks in Watford City, Mayor Sanford talks about, hey, we generate $1.2 billion in revenue, and we only get $80 million back out of this. That's got to change. Do you agree that the formula, the current formula is not working?
Well, I think the formula itself is going to work fine. The challenge is that you've got to catch them up somehow. And, you know, last session there was a bill early on in the session which got some money out there. So they could start bidding for that construction season. But, you know, I encourage, you know, all of the policymakers to find, squeeze every possible spot we can to get more of those monies back to those Western communities. Because again, the $36 million, I believe they put into a fund for housing, low income housing, that's already gone. Well, we still have another year to the session. So, you can't lose a session for road construction or any of those at the bidding process. So I think that, you know, there are some valid concerns, and we certainly want more and more of those oil and gas revenues sent out there. So we certainly hope everything possible can be done to get more revenues out to those areas.
Our time is short here, but I want to go through a couple of quick other things. The vote recently by the North Dakota Industrial Commission, largely, labeled, I guess, a compromise to say let's separate public lands for comment and keep private lands the way it is now. You happy with the compromise? Did it work out in the end?
Well, I think it's going to depend upon how the, what comes out in the details and how the process works. I think there was that additional 30 days comment period really allowed people in those areas, whether you live in those areas and you farmed and ranched there, or whether you have minerals in those areas, or whether you've got other opinions, that it allowed people to comment. Industrial Commission, probably took the prudent step and kind of did the public lands only, where certainly, people's comments on public lands are, but there were real concerns raised when you start talking about the opportunity for people across the nation with no knowledge of those areas in commenting individually on private pieces of land and or minerals. So I'm still not sure anybody's particularly happy, but it's a process we went through, and I think they probably came out with the best solution they could at that time.
Sounds good. Ron, we're out of time. Thanks a bunch. We appreciate you joining us. We'll do it again in a couple of weeks. Ron Ness of the North Dakota Petroleum Council with us on What's on Your Mind Today.
NASA Consulting Service of Tioga is the most recognized and respected on-site geologic service company in the Williston Basin and beyond. Here's Kathy Nesset on the booming Bakken. Is it the North Dakota miracle, Kathy?
I do think it's a miracle, and I think we are truly blessed to be part of it.
Talk about the newest North Dakotan's role in the booming Bakken.
The base of this is, the hometown North Dakota guy and gal. But I have such respect for the newcomers to the area. I really feel that, as a community, in our church communities, in our schools, in our, business communities, I really see that North Dakota has a welcome, open arm to our out-of-state people who are here. And I admire those who have the wherewithal, and to be quite honest with you, the guts to pick up and move to North Dakota and try to make a living for their families.
To find out more about Nesset Consulting Service, go to NessetConsulting.com.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
This is What's on Your Mind. So we want to know. It's some time to chat here at 800-228-0550. What's so funny, Todd?
I love the choice of Heat Wave for bumper music. Having 60 degrees in Bismarck yesterday felt so good.
It is a heat wave. When do you think we'll hit 80? You think that's possibly before August, maybe?
I sure hope so. The question is, will it be before May?
No kidding. Bob in Partial, listening on 550 K-Fire. You're next on What's on Your Mind. Hello, Bob.
Good morning. I just caught the last part of a fellow that called in regarding these filter socks.
Yes.
At these disposal wells, and I've heard quite a bit of talk about that myself, and I missed the answer, or I didn't think I got an answer to what was going to happen there, or what they had planned to do about it.
Well, first of all, I think here's my takeaway, just as a novice on the science of it all. When you first heard about these filter socks and radioactive waste, and you see Daryl Dorgan writing letters with his hair on fire, which is my term for folks that run around saying the sky is falling. I know Todd loves the hair on fire analogy, but radioactive probably isn't the correct term for these things, right? That it would be no more radioactive than some material that when you're at the dentist and they're giving you a filling goes into a process. But what Ron Ness said is, look, it is a material that does need to be disposed of, and because there are a large amount of these disposal sites, that we need a process to dispose of this material. And so, in other words, the fact that they were somewhere, there was no danger to anyone where they were, but they do need to be disposed of. And his point was that the North Dakota Health Department needs to come up with a solution here, and that discussion is underway. And That was my takeaway from it, Bob. Does that help?
Yes, I think so. And I guess my thought was that so that people are aware of this. I mean, that maybe when they find something like this, they know what they're looking at, or so they can report it or can be handled in the right way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one positive out of this recent concern out by Dickinson. But I just have to tell you, first read that. And it's quite often happens, on how the media covers these things. And then folks like Clay Jenkinson write a column about how everything's bad. And by the way, Clay's going to be on the program tomorrow, and we're going to have a fun little discussion, a civil discussion about this, because I was critical of a recent column of his where he went through all these headlines of these bad things. And my takeaway from this was, after being pulling myself back up off the mat from being depressed was, let's work on some solutions here. And this is what the media does. The lion's share of the media is, radioactive waste found in Dickinson. Oh, my gosh, shut down the industry. And, and again, when it isn't really fairly, I don't think, described as radioactive waste, it is a byproduct of the saltwater disposal that we need to do something with. And give the industry you know, some better guidelines on how to handle it. So anyway, that's the danger in it, in my view, Bob. But
that gives me a better idea what we're dealing with or talking with here. But we know it ain't going to go away. We know this thing is going to be here for a long time, and so I guess anything we can do at this time and point to make more aware and do resolve it is better. That sounds good.
Exactly right. Find a solution, right? In other words, I'm not certainly saying, hey, who cares? Let the stuff pile up somewhere. It's not going to hurt you. Don't worry about it. No. Okay. Well, this is waste. It is a product of a process that's going to be here as long as we have fracking and a need to dispose of salt water. So what do we do about it?
Yeah.
Right. Let's in that, by the way, is an opportunity for some entrepreneur out there that might want to create a way for himself or, hire a bunch of folks that can allow themselves to live the American dream. So
find a better solution too, maybe. Yeah.
Exactly right.
Always look for a better solution. So.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Exactly
well,
right.
I thank you for that.
All right, Bob. Thank you. This is What's on Your Mind. Our telephone number is 800-228-0550. Todd, I'm thinking about ordering up a, one of those folks that comes and takes your blood pressure and blood and everything, just as a somebody I care about as a coworker here and my co-host in the program. Given the fact that I have read a story from the American Journal of Cardiology that concludes the shifts to and from daylight savings time might increase the risk of acute cardiac events.
Hmm.
Yeah, that I thought maybe I better check on you today because
you did see what I had posted, I believe, yesterday on the What's in Your Mind Facebook. I'm just pulling it up as we're talking real quick so I can reference it here.
Just so you know, I did not see it, and I had a social media free day yesterday. I'll have you know, I did not.
That's just a total waste. Don't do that. Don't buy into the myth.
I didn't actually have a social free media day because I posted your difference between liberals and conservatives. Which caused a bit of a firestorm on my Facebook page. Thank you for that, Mr. Controversy. And I also posted something over the weekend at the Sioux hockey game because my father-in-law told me about a story that was in the Grand Forks Herald. It's called Ice Time, and they do these little bios on different former Sioux players. Mm-hmm. And so they had one about Dane Jackson, who's a former Sioux forward, obviously, and now an assistant coach. And they asked him what his nickname was, and he said, the guys here call me Jax, but back in college, it was Lamplighter. Scott Hennen gave me the name after I was lucky enough to score 4 goals against Minnesota.
Hey,
so
there you go.
I reposted that on Facebook to say thank you, Lamplighter, Dane Jackson, for remembering that nickname I used over the PA when he was lighting the lamp for the Sioux, but I think it was Tim Hennessy, the voice of the Sioux that actually deserved the credit for the creation of that. And then I put up also a Facebook post about Jack Dalrymple, so I lied. I wasn't social media free, but what did you post about daylight savings time?
I still think that the whole liberal-conservative thing nailed it, and it's not a disrespect or a tip of respect to either side. I think it actually nails it. It's one of the very first things I saw that said, okay, this is what it is. This is the difference.
Well, we probably should share. It says the difference between liberals and conservatives. Liberals think we should be equal at the finish line. Conservatives think we should be equal at the starting line. And I concurred with that.
I don't see that as a disrespect to either side or a favoritism to either side. I mean, I think it really actually is one of the more succinct ways of nailing it. And
Tony Bender does not agree. Just so you know, Tony Bender said, "What a load of crap."
Of course, somebody always says that.
Typical misrepresentation. Liberals don't think everyone should be equal at the end of the race, only that the race should not be rigged.
No, or the race should not be ran.
Yeah,
one or the other. So the letter to the editor, this is in the Arkansas Democrat. I don't know. It looks like it was probably at least a year ago, maybe longer. Connie says, you may have noticed that March of this year is particularly hot. As a matter of fact, I understand it was the hottest March since the beginning of the last century. All the trees were fully leafed and legions of bugs and snakes were crawling around during a time when in Arkansas, on a normal year, we might see a snowflake or two. This should come as no surprise to any reasonable person. As you know, daylight saving time started as almost a month early this year. You would think that members of Congress would have considered the warming effect that an extra hour of daylight would have on our climate. Or did they? Perhaps another plot by the liberal Congress to make us believe that global warming is a real threat. Perhaps next time there should be serious studies performed before Congress passes laws with such far-reaching effects. Connie M. Meskimen of Hot Springs, Arkansas, letter to the editor of the Arkansas Gazette.
Well, I'm more worried about us.
Don't know what date, though.
And this risk of acute cardiac events in the days leading up. What is it again? The days immediately after, right? So we're supposed to be, this right now is when we're here. A risk of a heart attack increases significantly for the first 3 weekdays after the transition to daylight savings time. So now is when I'm a little more worried about us and our hearts than I am about Connie's critters. Was that her name, Connie?
I'm more worried about how Connie figures Congress can just decide we're going to have an extra hour of daylight.
Well, yeah. So
that was kind of her point, was why does Congress get to decide? If it was up to Congress, wouldn't we have maybe 18 hours of daylight and 6 hours of darkness or something? I don't know.
What do you think of this whole daylight savings time thing? Is it a good thing or a bad thing? You tell us, by the way, at 800-228-0550. Back to the phones here. Rod Minot, you're next on What's On Your Mind.
Hey, good morning. The one question I had is I worked in the oil boom in the early 80s, and I know it started in the late 70s. The one thing that has not changed in the oil field is the saltwater disposal process. They pump in the Dakota Sands, which isn't quite 7,000 feet down. They do the same thing today as they did back in the 70s. So my question is, where do they put all those old filters?
It's a good question. I don't know. We might need a whole program on this just to better understand. And certainly, since Ron Ness suggested the North Dakota Health Department needs to do more, maybe our solution ought to start there. So we'll reach out. But, yeah, you're right. This is not new, right? So but maybe the quantity is the big issue, where there's just so much more of it given the level of activity. I mean, that'd be probably fair to say there's a heck of a lot more of it. But.
Okay, yeah. Well, there's still a bunch of filters, but, you know, not near as many, granted, yes. But it must have been radioactive back then, too, so.
Very good question. We'll dig into that for you, Rod. Appreciate the tip. Tom and Bismarck, you're next on What's On Your Mind. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, hey, you guys are just talking about those socks. Well, maybe I have to happen to have a little bit of info on that. Well, I do believe that they use radiation out there in the oil field when they do the fracking. So maybe you need to check in on that. And also, have you ever heard of Hanford? Hanford, Washington, as in the nuclear disposal? Well, they're all breaking down right now. And if you want that in good old North Dakota right here, you'll get it. Just let the government handle it. Have a good day.
All right, Tom. Thank you very much. Let's see. Don't have time for another call here. I'll squeeze in Karen real quick. Karen wanted to talk about the weather. Karen, how are you doing today?
We are increasing in population here in Fargo. So not even counting building new schools, we do need to collect additional money for those schools, and I'm going to vote yes tomorrow.
You'll be voting yes in Fargo tomorrow. All right. Well, I tell you what, if I was going to be in Watford City, I'd be voting yes, too. As a matter of fact, Watford City is a school vote. We're going to talk with Myra Anderson. Fargo has a school vote. Fargo's is actually a little different. Watford's is for a specific project for a new high school. In the case of Fargo, they're looking for the authority to raise the mills from the current 139 cap to 150, not saying they will raise the cap. Appreciate that reminder, Karen. Thank you.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com.
If you're working in the Stanley area and looking for affordable housing, listen up a moment. Yes, I said affordable housing. I want you to check out the new Frontier Village. It's a development conveniently located on the west side of Stanley, about 2 blocks north of the new Holiday Station on Highway 2. Now, if you have families, you're going to love this location because it is walking distance to the elementary and high school and, of course, groceries, amenities, all around, walking distance. With over 30 models of manufactured homes, it has never been easier to get a new home to meet your needs and your budget. Even though they have about 60 new lots, the best ones are going to sell quick, so why wait? Pick yours out today. Your new home will be ready to move into this spring if you start now. Call 701-628-2418. 701-628-2418. Affordable housing, walking distance to schools and groceries, and it's affordable. Call 701-628-2418 for Frontier Village today.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
KeepItLocal.com, the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or boat, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com. We keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
I'm David Cordani, President and CEO of Cigna. We're proud to support the March of Dimes by walking in the March for Babies. It feels great to know that the money we raise funds life-saving research and programs that improve the health of babies. With your help, we can make this year better than ever. Join Cigna and our coworkers across the country in March for Babies to help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthier babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org and march to help our babies. Thank you.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
Deprived, but we're battling through it for you, folks. Yes, and we're worried for you, too. We see this. I don't know if I believe this research myself on daylight savings time that the New England Journal of Medicine, they're obviously esteemed, right? And it's a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine that says a risk of a heart attack increases significantly for the first 3 weekdays after the transition to daylight savings time. Story in the Forum News Service papers on Saturday that you might have caught, Dickinson, Jamestown, Grand Forks, or Fargo papers. There's, by the way, another study published by the American Journal of Cardiology concluded the shift to and from daylight savings time might transiently increase the risk of acute cardiac events, although modestly. So should we scrap it altogether? What do you think? 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Here's a call that came in during the break, then we'll get to Donald and Bismarck here. Hang on.
Yeah, this is for What's On Your Mind. I'd like to give a couple little tidbits about daylight savings time. It was originally a joke, actually, said by Benjamin Franklin as just a jestful look at a way to save candles way back in colonial days. Apparently, somewhere down the line, some government bureaucrat in World War One or World War Two decided that implementing it might save resources and help win the war. And who's to say that it did or didn't? But my next little tidbit about daylight savings time is that it's only been implemented during times of crisis and war. So it's only been implemented here and there during the Civil War, and then World War One, and then World War Two, and then it was made permanent in the 50s. So what I want to know is, you know, is daylight savings time, is that a symptom of police state? Is that a symptom of state of emergency? Because, you know, the president has declared a state of emergency every year since 1976. Look up the National Emergencies Act, but I'm getting off my point. I apologize for that. But, yeah, it's a couple of little tidbits about daylight savings time.
Very interesting. And I did read something about FDR. And using it to, you know, World War One is when we first adopted the official daylight savings time. It was removed because it was unpopular, however, and then some states would sporadically observe it until World War Two, and then FDR signed temporary daylight savings time into law. And again, it wasn't popular, so it didn't continue after the war. And then in 1966, LBJ signed a bill calling for daylight savings time to begin on the last Sunday of April and the end of the last Sunday of October each year. And then they tweaked the dates under Reagan, and 2005, they extended daylight savings time by a whopping 4 weeks, and that's the schedule we're on today. That was all in the name of saving energy, by the way, part of an energy and tax package. Is it working? I'm not so sure. Should we scrap it? You tell me. 800-228-0550. Donald and Bismarck, listening on KFIRE. You're next on What's on Your Mind.
Yes. I'd like to talk about two things completely different. First of all, you guys are pushing pie. And I want to recommend that the people that make our pie skip the sugar and replace it with honey. It only takes half as much honey, and you get the trace minerals out of the honey. So you're a leap ahead there. And then further, I'd like your mailing address, because there are recipes that are completely sugar-free, and you can't tell the difference, but of course they're going to be a lot healthier than that refined sugar. Enough on that. About radiation, if you've got this gas coming out of your basement, once it reaches a certain level, you're actually going to be healthier. After it goes over that level, it will start to cause trouble. And I predict that this radioactive stuff that comes out of an oil well will eventually be bought by farmers to put on their land to stimulate the growth of their crops. I took an economics course in 1967 or so, and a man named S.K. Solberg, an economist, had been to Japan where they had done the bombing. And the secondary radiation there, he noticed, really stimulated anything where that effect was had. So this radiation thing, after we learn how to measure it, will be very useful. It'll be interesting to watch these farmers spreading this stuff on their land. But with that, I don't know if I'm still on the air.
Of course you are, Don. Don, of course you are. But I love the pie idea, by the way, because I gave up. Let me ask you this question. I gave up sweets for Lent, so obviously I'm just trying to reduce the sugar intake, right? And so if we replace the honey instead of the sugar in pie, you think I'd be okay having the having pie during Lent?
Well, you're only cutting the sugar content in half. Sugar, the honey, of course, is ordinarily a mixture of two sugars, but they're all trace minerals in there.
Shoot! So it doesn't work.
I'm sorry.
It doesn't work, does it?
Well, I don't want to break your heart, but no, better not. No.
Nice try, Scott.
All right, I still want the recipe. Give them our address there, Todd, would you?
3500 East Rosser Avenue, Bismarck, 58501.
35 East.
Will you send that to us, Don?
Yeah, I sure
Thanks
will,
for listening,
Ron.
My good man. Appreciate you calling. Helen and Botno when we come back on What's on Your Mind. Don't go away.
Utah, we listen. Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
If it's time for a Hurricane Force truck wash, but you hate wasting the time, then the North Dakota Truck Wash is for you. The North Dakota Truck Wash in Stanley wants you to know there's no waiting time between 6 and 10, a.m. or p.m. If those times work for you, you'll enjoy no wait times and a free engine wash at North Dakota's best truck wash, the Bakken's best, Hurricane Force, the North Dakota Truck Wash in Stanley. Again, no waiting time between 6 and 10 a.m. or 6 and 10 p.m. at the North Dakota Truck Wash, Stanley.
The TalkStream Live app for iPhone, iPad, and Android is the fastest and easiest way to access live talk radio anytime, anywhere. Download the free TalkStream Live app right now and see for yourself. You'll enjoy instant access to the best in live talk radio. Find your favorite shows and discover some new ones. The TalkStream Live app is available in the App Store, the Google Play Store, or visit TalkStreamLive.com. That's TalkStreamLive.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.